The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said to the 12, "Fear no one. Nothing is concealed that will not be revealed, nor secret that will not be known. What I say to you in the darkness, speak in the light. What you hear whispered, proclaim on the housetops. And do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in Gehenna. Are not two sparrows sold for a small coin? Yet not one of them falls to the ground without your Father's knowledge. Even all the hairs on your head are counted. So do not be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. Everyone who acknowledges me before others, I will acknowledge before my Heavenly Father. But whoever denies me before others, I will deny before my Heavenly Father." The Gospel of the Lord. We're at that time of the year where David Mathers and I were talking this afternoon. When I go to type up the prayers of the faithful, I go back to the last one that we did, and if there's any updates that need to be made or any special prayers to add. And last week and this week, I went all the way back to 2017 because we have not heard these readings in 6 years, or at least five. And that's because the Easter season moves forward and backward, and these Sundays would have been probably used by any number of the Sunday within the octave of Easter or Corpus Christi or Holy Trinity, those Sundays that would replace the readings for this particular Sunday. And it's interesting because they are readings we don't hear that often. And I decided today I wanted to talk a little bit about the second reading, St. Paul in his letter to the people of Rome. He's speaking of a mystery that I think that we don't think. We're accustomed to think of things in a way that is very everyday and common and more based on our own individual personal experience than the idea of maybe looking at things from God's perspective. If you think about when God creates, because there's no past and there's no future in God, right? Everything is now. So as God creates, he creates everything all at once. It unfolds as we see it over time. So that my grandfather was born in 1900 and I wasn't born until 1961. But my grandfather and I somehow were created at the same moment in God, because God doesn't have a past or a future. And when God created all of us, well, did it work out like the oral tradition says in the book of Genesis? The book of Genesis wasn't written down probably until the 6th century B.C., but it happened millennia, before, I mean the creation of the world, right? And it was communicated orally but from one generation to the next for thousands of years. And they probably told the story of creation in the way they could understand. And it just so happens to say evening came, morning followed, the second day, the third day, the fourth day. But in fact, I'm not sure that it happened quite like that. And as we know today, it's very different than what we've been able to discover, that the universe is still under creation. It's still being created. It's expanding, and there are new galaxies being born all the time. And so from our perspective on this particular planet, we would say, well, yes, it started at a particular year, but that wasn't just the extent of God's creation. It's much bigger. It's much bigger. The universe is unfolding because that eternal moment of God is still happening. That eternal moment of God begins from our experience from the first day to the last day and everything in between. We just see it moment after moment in time. So let's talk about the creation of man. God didn't create each one of us the year we were born. God's creation happened in that eternal moment And we were all created as one, not as men and women or individuals, but as mankind. One unity, interconnected in the image of God, who is also, by the way, one, though many, in the Blessed Trinity. And the Son of God became man, not a man. The Son of God became mankind. We know that God can't change, but he gave us a kind of a powerful gift to be able to choose with our free will something other than him. And so we did. And Adam chose something other than God in his pride. So I want to pick up what St. Paul is saying to the people of Rome right now. He says, though one man, through one man, sin entered the world, and through sin, death, and thus death came to all men, inasmuch as all sinned. You can kind of feel like Paul's searching for the right words. But if we were all created as one unity, when one of us sins, all of us suffer, all of us sin. It goes the other way, too. Whenever we do something virtuous and grace comes into the world, it's something that all of us can benefit from. But all of mankind sinned in Adam. This is the mystery of free will. People will say, well, why would God allow that? Well, because God is love, but he wants us to return that love. And if we don't have a choice, then we're just slaves, aren't we? That's not really freedom. We have to be able to choose to love God and to choose not to love God. I think we feel this when something terrible happens in the church. I remember when we had all the abuse situations in the church, and everybody felt like it touched them, you know? I think every time I sin, even though you wouldn't know about it, it's going to affect the whole body in the same way anytime I do something good. So we'll continue with St. Paul. Up to the time of the law, sin was in the world. Though sin is not accounted when there is no law. So there was absolute lawlessness up until the time of the covenant with Moses. So sin was just the reality of things. It was just the way things were. He says, death reigned from Adam, but death reigned from Adam to Moses, the consequence of not following God's commandment, even over those who did not sin. So here's this idea of original sin. The sin of Adam is my sin too. I am born into this world with that same sin of Adam, original sin, which we know is the thing that is healed by baptism. Obeying the law, even though given to Moses, still was not enough to save mankind. So what was there to do? Well, this is where God intervenes. And St. Paul says, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who did not sin, after the pattern of the trespass of Adam, who is the type of the one to come. Type prefiguring, he is the first. Well, we call Adam the first Adam, we call Jesus the second Adam, right? And this was the Son of God and man, Jesus. The fathers of the church regarded this unity of mankind so perfectly that they said that the parable of Jesus, where the shepherd goes out to find the lost sheep, he leaves 99 armies of angels in heaven, not in need of his salvation, to go out and to seek the one sheep that is all of mankind, one unity, interconnected. We come forth from God as one, and God now has come back to gather us together to return to God as one. Not as a person here and a person there, but as one. By bridging the divide between the divine and the human, Jesus makes it possible for us to become members of his body, to return in him. This happened to me just the other day. I was in a group, an ecumenical group, and one person actually came up to me and said, "Are you saved?" Has anybody ever asked you that question? Are you saved? Obviously, they're getting to the point where the Catholic Church says we're still involved in that process and the verdict is not yet in. But a lot of Christians would say, no, Jesus did it and we don't have to worry about it anymore. The response is, I am redeemed, by the blood of Jesus on the cross, but I still must choose. And I make those choices every day according to the mystery of my free will. This was the greatest gift that Vatican II gave to us because it requires us to be involved in this process with full, conscious, active participation. All are involved in this work of salvation, not just me, not just Jesus, because we are one unity, interconnected. We are responsible for one another. We are responsible to journey alongside our brothers and sisters, even big sinners, as Jesus himself did, with compassion and mercy and encouragement and service. We enter this eternal moment of God by baptism, putting on the divine cloak of Jesus that he left in the Jordan River when he was here. Also by intentionally welcoming the Holy Spirit to the dwelling place of our heart in confirmation. And by conforming our lives to Jesus, literally becoming him in the sacrament of his body, and as him, joining the communion of the Holy Trinity. This is St. Paul's conclusion in the reading today. The gift, new life, is not like the transgression, death. For if by the transgression of one, the many died, how much more did the grace of God and the gracious gift of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflow for the many.